joined the FBI, you joined the front line between order and chaos. And in today's world, you know how easy it is to lose perspective.
Nature. That's got to be hands down the stupidest line I have heard this goddamn year. It's about the forces of nature aligning themselves as one. People, we talking about Point Break, and my God, my point was about to break a long time in this movie. First of all, it's 2 hours long, but oh my God, I literally don't even know where to start with this other than a plot synopsis still, but wow, this felt like it was made by the corniest fucking music video director that does highlight reels for not even trailers, but for shows where they have a TV playing in the background. That's what this felt like. And after looking the director up, he ain't a director. This is probably, other than, what was the name of this one movie this guy did? He did, Erickson Kaur was his name, and I know he did Invincible back in 2006, but he's been mainly a cinematographer on such great things like Payback, Daredevil, and the original Fast and Furious, and they all were kind of shitty, so clearly he didn't even know anything about cinematography, and what the fuck cinematography could you get out of a Fast and Furious film? But I digress, because a lot of people say back in the day, and even now, this is like the Fast and Furious without the cars. The funny thing is, you look at Fast and Furious today, there are barely any fucking cars in them. I mean, you got people landing on cars, blowing cars up, driving cars, and that's a little too outdated for Fast and Furious these days. But my history with the original Point Break that came out in 1991 with Patrick Swayze and Keanu Reeves is, I don't remember the shit. I remember a few little scenes, and that's about it. But I don't remember this movie at all. I mean, it was whatever to me back then. And frankly, if I have to do it for a Throwback Tuesday, it seems like it would end up somewhere in the fuck it territory if this film captures it. But somehow I highly doubt that, because Patrick Swayze is a far better actor than Edgar Ramirez or Luke Bracey. But plot synopsis here. So this is a remake. Yeah, it's a remake of Point Break. And we have Luke Bracey, who plays Johnny Utah, in here. Motocross superstar, if you will, who decides to become an FBI agent after the death of a friend of his, which the movie opens up with them doing some mountain motocross, whatever, and they decide to jump this mountain, and his friend doesn't make it. Well, he makes it, but then he ends up falling to his death. So Luke Bracey then becomes a cop who trains to be an FBI agent, and what was this? You see this guy everywhere. Damn, Delroy Lindo. Yeah, that's his name. Delroy Lindo. This guy, this black dude's in every goddamn thing down there. And it was kind of sad to see him in here, because even this weak-ass performance he was doing. And he's pretty much like, I'm looking for the best. Everybody talks like that in this movie somewhere. He's like, you need to prove to me why I need to hire you. It's like, dude, why the fuck did you... I know all about you. I know why those tattoos... Your friend got murdered or killed or whatever. That's okay, but guess what? You work for me, but I need you to prove it to me. So apparently we got these guys. You got Edgar Ramirez, who plays Bodie. Even Teresa Palmer is in here. She plays, I'm going to fuck her name up, Samsara. You got Clemson Schick. Shit, yeah, I'm going to go with Schick. That sounds better. As Roach. You got Batista Varela as a Gromet. And those are the three guys you really want to follow. So these guys are, they're extremists, I guess. And Utah here, he's pretty much put on assignment because he comes up with the idea that, okay, these guys, the reason why they're doing it in the extreme sports style is because they're looking to pass the Yamazaki 12. It sounds like a fucking drink I had, something like that. I forgot. It's some ancient wisdom of nature or something like that. Sound like some Sammy shit going on. And they're trying to achieve this by, and I guess the motto is, with everything you earn, you have to give a little bit more. So they decide to not only commit crimes, but they also give money back to the poor, if you will. And there's certain ones plotting all over the place. And basically, Utah here finds out where their next, I think it was the fourth one, the fourth, because there's eight of them, the fourth seal, if that's what you want to call it. It's where the biggest waves hit, so people go surfing. So they decide to stick him on the case and say, hey, get us some intel, find out who these guys are, then come back to us. So, you know, like all these movies, he gets in, he gets a little too deep, I don't know how, but, and then next thing you know it, he either exposes himself, they expose him, and then next thing you know, he's going down to hunt that. That's a fucking plot synopsis. Okay, this movie is stupid as fuck. I mean, first of all, let's get into characters here. Characters here. Bracey is like, I get the Fast and Furious references and stuff like that. Well, not references, but the comparison. Bracey is just fucking Paul Walker, and Bodie is fucking Vin Diesel. Like you said, instead of cars, that literally extreme sports is the way. So now, he decides to surf this big-ass wave, and it kind of interrupts Bodie's juju, where, because Utah ends up falling and Brody ends up saving, so he can't count that as an official pass of the seal. He wakes up on one of Bodie's, I don't know who this guy was, he just kept coming out of fucking nowhere, some rich douchebag, and he shows up twice in the film, but he ends up on Bodie's party on his boat, and he wakes up and he kind of gets a hint of what these guys are about and stuff like that. Mind you, he don't know if it's these guys or not that's been committing the crimes at the beginning of the film. He doesn't know any of this, but somehow he just, for some odd reason, he just wants to stick with them because they may have some kind of connection. And then when they get off the boat, they're in France right now because he flew to France for this. He's working with a cop, Ray Winstone, and he's helping him through Paris and stuff like that. As the person he's supposed to report to. But he kind of forgets about him because, you know, he's kind of a little in too deep with this. So, out of nowhere, the next scene, and once this boat party's over, he goes to some random place, which I don't even know how he found this place or got to this place, because I love in the movie they try to say, oh, I invited them. But it's like, no, you didn't. That conversation just kind of ended it when he woke up, and that was it. There was no invite. I don't even know how he found this place. And then out of nowhere, Bodie tells him, you're looking for something, but you don't know what it is. You came here for a reason. And then next thing you know, they just take their shirts off and they start fighting. This is a fist fighting, because this is an underground fist fighting facility. I don't know what the fuck it was, to be honest. And then, you know, obviously Utah loses. I don't know how he loses. He's a fucking FBI agent. You think his training, because they show you his training at the beginning of the film, would have helped him out in this. But no, he gets his ass handed to him. And he's sitting there licking his wounds. And, you know, you got one dude, Gromit, he's like, I don't know about this guy, man, you know, he's not special, I don't see what Bodie sees in you and stuff like that. But Bodie takes him on his wing and says, hey, join us for this little mountain climbing thing, you know, we're gonna do some things, it's gonna be amazing, you should join us, I think you'll find what you've been looking for, that spark. And meanwhile, you got Teresa Palmer here, who, Utah, I don't know how the fuck he saw her on the wave from his boat that distance apart, and then recognized her when they got on the boat, and was like, oh, hey, that wave you did was killer. It's like, how the fuck did you know it was her? You must have super fucking eyesight to see that. And she looks great in the film, but she's fucking barely even there. And I remember just saying, ugh, I don't even need to throw her in here. I'm gonna create some kind of love interest shit here. But so at this point, they don't like this guy. They don't trust him. They say he doesn't understand what they're about. But they go I forgot what this is called, but it's really fucking cool. I want to do it. It's when you get a body suit on and you just fly through the air. You glide through the air and stuff like that. It's really cool as fuck. I even called the place when I wanted to do it. They said hell no, because you need about, I think they said, like, you need at least about 1,000 jumps or something like that. Like, you literally got to be trained for this. But then, so I was like, I ain't got time for that shit. But, and he follows them all the way through. And when they land, they embrace him. It's just, I just like, this got to be the ultimate bro movie I've ever fucking seen. Like, this is a Mountain Dew commercial. Because as soon as they was like, you made it, bro. Welcome to the family. You know, you're my brother now. I'm your brother. I was like, you got to be shitting me. They're all hugging, screaming, and yelling. It's like, woo, we did it. We did it. I was like, okay. Can we move on now? So then we learn about this. The more Bodhi and Utah talk, it becomes some kind of weird backwards ass preaching movie about nature and the. I was about to say the force, but no, the force sounds more realistic than this shit. It's like basically, even before that flight, they were just like, before we jump tomorrow, you have to become one with the wind of the great Wimitanya. Some shit like that. It just, the shit he was saying sounded like it came from that dude, John Redcorn from King of the Hill. He was just talking nonsense. It's just like, you know, when we jump, my body, mind, and soul is with the wind. And when I fly, it's like a complete circle of life. I was just like, did you just literally rip some Lion King shit off here? I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. Nobody looked impressed in this theater as far as these critics go. And me, it was empty too, people. I ain't gonna lie. Nobody went to go see this shit. I'm like, there was like a total of probably 7-8 people in here. And I'm sitting in the back because I got there a little late, but I made it like right when the movie started. I missed all the credits, I guess, and the introduction of the film and shit like that. But I got that side in the back, and I was just like sitting there, and I was just like, when they were just saying cheesy shit like that, I was, come on now. The only way you can ride a wave like that is you need to put your hand in the water and feel the water between your feet and toes and fingers, and you can swim with it. Because look at it, it's beautiful, and she wants me to ride it. Okay, what the fuck fortune cookie did you get that off of? I mean, it literally, the dialogue is fucking awful in here. I'll admit, you get some great shots of some beautiful landscape scenes, you know, such as the snow mountains and the water and stuff like that. But when it gets right down to it, it is literally like a Sports Center highlight reel that you go when you go to like John's Incredible Pizza or something like that, or Island Burger, and you literally see a surfing channel or something like that on TV, and it's just going through clips. The film was so fucking ridiculous that I kid you not, people. Those three guys I named, Bodhi, Gromit, Roach, and Utah, the new guy. It's four of them. Before then, it was just those three. Before Utah joins us, four of them. They decide they want to go snowboarding. Look, people, this is a 2-hour film, and you see the two crimes, the one in the plane and the one where they swung dive into this giant-ass hole into the ground, which, by the way, has to be damn near fucking impossible when you are 150,000 feet in the air. For you to project that you would land in that exact spot is some complete bullshit. I just cannot admit that you cannot make that without some proper planning. And I just couldn't believe it for the simple fact that these motherfuckers, the whole movie, are talking about grabbing dirt on the ground and blowing it and letting the wind blow it and going like, I'm one with nature and the air. The air is my sidekick to the ground. It's like, you gotta be shitting me. Oh, hell no. No, I don't believe it. I don't buy it not one bit already. But this snowboarding scene, and Faye's like, no. We can't accomplish a mission if we die on this mountain just snowboard. No, we can't do that. But for some reason, Utah just decides, I guess he drunk Mountain Dew Code Red that morning or something like that. And he just, fuck it, I'm going down all of them. And even one of them, they're just like, okay, we got to stop here calling the chopper. It's a little dangerous now. And the mountain is pretty fucking dangerous. I'm not going to lie. Even I would never fucking snowboard off this mountain. And you see that they join anyway. And then I kid you fucking not. I seriously fucking kid you not, one of them straight up died on this mountain. They show his body roll all the way off the cliff. Somehow they managed to save the body, but they put in a body bag. And what time period was this movie set in? Because they lay him on a top of logs, put coins on his eyes, and go around and setting fire to the logs and let it burn. I was just like, are we in Viking fucking days right now? He dies. And here's the problem with the film. You can't tell out of these three characters, or four if you want to count Utah in there too. But Utah you can pretty count because he's the only blonde head boy in here. But you can't tell who these three guys were, because when that person died, I didn't even know who the fuck that was. So much to the point that you can't tell who nobody is. The fact that the movie doesn't even know who the fuck it is, because this guy, I don't know if it was Gromit or Roach or I guess Chowder, if you will, or something like that. One of them dies, and I kid you not, the whole complete movie, it's still three guys. What kind of bullshit is this movie trying to pull? They straight up show a death scene of either Roach or Gromit, and I think it was Gromit, the guy that had problems with him in the first place, but all of a sudden, since he did that hang gliding shit, now, oh, man, he's cool with me, he's respect, whatever. He straight up dies, and then, yet, the very next fucking scene, even though they saw him burning his body, there's still three guys in the group. What in the fuck movie? I don't even think they know what the hell they were filming, because I seriously couldn't tell anyone apart from this film. You got Teresa Palmer here trying to give some background story on Bodhi. As a kid, there was this man who tried to accomplish the eight, and he was the greatest. He could have did it, but he went back to save some whales from a fisherman's boat or some shit like that. And the only person that survived on his boat was a little kid. That was Bodhi. And he's just like, I still don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck about none of this. And then it literally takes almost, this movie is 2 hours long. I want to say it pushed to about an hour and 15 to 20 minutes before they stopped realizing that we're going to stop doing extreme sports and actually do a heist. Then it decides to become a heist movie. This trailer is misleading like a motherfucker. None of them are doing heist at all until they get to the part where the rock slide comes on that that driveway bridge and shit like that. So they decide, and then all of a sudden, because Utah is going along with all of this shit, all of a sudden he's going like, Bodhi, this is dangerous. This is like straight up just giving away his position and shit like that. And then he pulls a gun on Bodhi. And he tells him, FBI, freeze. And then Bodhi straight up tells him, we always knew you were FBI, but I wanted to open your eyes to the truth, man. It's just like, I don't even know the fucking truth right now. Because it took so long to get to this point of the movie that I forgot that this is a fucking heist film. And a heist film about liberating people and shit like that. I'm just like, I'm confused if you guys are the bad guys or not. It's so mind-fucking. And then, you know, the sidekicks, they die one by one. And then Bodhi, him and this dude, Utah, jump off a fucking cliff or something like that. Which, I don't know. Utah should just let his ass fall in there. Why the hell would you jump? Because Utah has some kind of respect for him or something like that. Even to the point where the movie ends, they go like, oh, he's probably dead, you know. Bodhi's dead. And then, you know, 17 months later, at the end of this movie, that big-ass wave come back, but in a bigger way, and a storm and stuff like that. And it's the only eighth, I guess, seal that Bodhi hasn't accomplished. So, you know, Utah just knew he'd come back to this. He'd come back. So 17 months later, Utah hunts him down. And then he comes. He's like, it's over, Bodhi. You're going to die through this. And he's just like, look at this wave. It's beautiful. It was put here for me to be on. It's just beautiful. Let me be one with nature. I don't plan on coming back, but I plan on riding its beauty. I was just like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. And then Utah's just like, all right, man. Shake his hand. And God was like, what? This has gotta be treason on so many levels. It's not even fucking funny. Arrest his ass. I mean, come on, man. And then it just shows him riding the wave and the movie ends. He's just like, oh, fuck you. This movie sucks ass, man. I tell you. I mean, it captured. Oh, wait, no. I guess the movie does. I was going to say the movie ends with some other snowboarding shit. I think it does. I can't remember. I ain't going to lie. I walked out of this movie pretty quickly. As soon as I saw the screen go black, the whole surf thing, I was like, yeah, I'm out of here. I don't really give a damn what goes on next. Because, oh my God, man, you don't give a fuck about nobody in this movie. That's the problem, man. Characters in here are just so weak, half-assed, and their dialogue sounds like it came out of the back of a fucking Gishnu poster or something like that. Sounds like a fucking palm reader would tell you some shit like this. You got Luke Bracey here, who's just the cheesiest surfer bro dude you've ever fucking seen. I mean, you just waiting for him to throw his hands up and go, Hang 10, man. You know, bro, we got to do that. I mean, he's just not a good leading man at all. Edgar Ramirez, who's in Joy as well, he's constantly got the same expression on his face with half his mouth half open on the side and shit. And he's just constantly reading off, like I said, palm reading tales and stuff like that. And the other guys are just hired henchmen that have no story whatsoever. Even Teresa Palmer, who they try to make like a love interest, she ends up getting shot in this whole police chase and stuff like that. By Utah, he didn't know it was her. He thought it was Brody, and then, you know, he gets angry. Why? I don't know why, because she gave him some sweet loving, which, by the way, she has some nice-ass titties in this film, so, yeah, props up to that one. And if I'm not mistaken, she was in, what was that movie? Warm Bodies? Yeah, Warm Bodies, and she also I Am Number 4 in Sorcerer's Apprentice and Bedtime Stories. Matter of fact, she's on a terrible fucking track record. Never mind. She's in some of the worst fucking movies I've seen lately in a while. But they do nothing with her. She's fucking plain. The movie really is. Oh, and it has some of the cheesiest soundtrack playing in the background, too. It's one of those soundtracks when it first begins, you can tell it's like, this movie tried to sell that soundtrack. Yeah, there's a lot of pop, crappy-ass pop music on here. And then the rest of the movie is just filler. It really was just filler for just showing parties at locations you never would thought existed and stuff like that. And then it's just highlight reels of them doing some extreme sports, whether it was motocrossing, snowboarding, surfing, or hang gliding and whatever. And it's just like, why was this fucking movie made again? And why was it released with so many other fucking films, too? I don't think nobody would give a flying fuck about this film. I predict this movie's gonna fucking bomb. I mean, Warner Brothers, you gotta be like... Yeah, Warner Brothers has to have the biggest track record of just releasing shit and just not giving a fuck what it is. That just seems to be their goal. I had no fun with this. I mean, this is... Man, it's probably the... You know, the movie this year, the movie of the year where I had constant eye rolls. I mean, my eyes was just completely rolling. There was not one good lick of dialogue in here to save this fucking movie, and not a good actor in here to deliver it as well. The scenes were just fucking pointless, and they just went on and on and on and on, and the FBI are so fucking useless. Not, matter of fact, they're not even in the film halfway through them. Like I said, it really doesn't kick back into... You remember what this film was about from the beginning until like an hour and fucking 20 minutes later. You just like, word? Oh my God, dude, you give me a fucking headache. I literally walked out of here with a fucking headache, man. I was like, ugh. Oh my God, I think I need to see something good now to bounce it out. But yeah, this is a fuck it. And I'm not one with nature or nothing like that, but I am one with watching a piece of shit of a movie and noticing when it's bad. And yeah, Warner Brothers. Got yourselves a piece of shit movie right here.
What are you doing here, Utah?
Maybe I'm chasing the eight. A man who pushes his boundaries ultimately finds them.
Come with us.
Now you've been on the cover, what, 2 weeks? They're using the money from the crimes to follow Ozaki's teachings.
We have to give more than we take.
There's a few $1 million up there. You're gonna steal it? You're gonna give it back.
You've been undercover too long. What just went down was a crime.
People see what they want to see.
They think they're crusaders for the worthy cause.
What side are you on?
I need to get to Bodhi before the final ordeal. Otherwise, he's gone.
Bodhi, stop!
We're all gonna die.